bring you this word. But before we started, let us just pray. Father, once again, we love you. We adore you. We thank you so much, Lord God, for the opportunity this morning to be in your presence. Father, I know that we can be in your presence every minute of every day, but to be in your presence with other brothers and sisters of Christ and that can just share the same love. Father, I pray now that your word will come to our hearts and your word will speak to our hearts this morning. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, and that you will the after preach of your word. Father, if there's any soul in here this morning that is wandering away from you, that is drifting away from you, I pray, Father God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to our hearts this morning. We bless you, we love you, and we adore you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning on a topic and a scripture that I think that all of you have heard already quite, thanks, scholar, a few messages on it already, because I think this is maybe the topic or the scripture that most of the preachers would love to preach on, because it makes such a good sermon if you sit and think about it. But praise God, this is a parable that Jesus was telling to his audience, and I believe that this parable had a lot of value then, and it still has a lot of value today in your life and in my life. Even though that you maybe have heard a lot about this, I pray that this sermon this morning will speak to your heart and your mind, and I pray that you will look into yourself and see where are you and I, where we standing towards God. We're going into the festive season. We're going into a time where the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy every Christian. We're going in a time where people, especially young people, want to throw everything aboard and want to take part of a joyous time with maybe drinking, drugs, loose living. And this is the way that the enemy wants to take us away. He wants to take us away from our first love. So, this message will show you this morning a few points. If we are already drifted away from God, how to be restored to the right relationship with God. And if you are not with God this morning, if you're sitting here and you haven't got that, you haven't had that personal relationship with God, I hope and pray that this message will mean something to you this morning. Because the subject of looking at our relationship with the Father should be of great interest to everybody who's listening to the sermon this morning. Because, you know, every one of us are tending to drift away sometimes from the loving Father. It's so easy because John 10:10 said that the devil is looking to kill, steal, and destroy. And as long as he's out there, he will allow us to drift away from our loving Father. I believe that this parable applies or relate to those who are not Christians. And it also relate to you and me who are Christians, who know the love of God. It serves as an assessment. I want you to assess your own life this morning. I want you to sit back and just think where you and I are standing in comparison with the Lord. This story represents, the Father represents God in the story, in this parable. And the two sons represent people like you and me. The younger son represents the one who left a loving, careful, a tender relationship with his father, and he wants to go into a distant country. And the older son, I hope Carl will have a good sermon on the older son one day for us. But the older son is a sermon on his own. So how can a person be restored to a loving, joyful relationship with the Father? I see this in this text at three points, very necessary points in restoring our relationship with the Father. But before I share on those three, I want to share with you two things. I want to share on verses 11. If it's on the screen there, then you can read with me. But firstly, from verse 11 to verse 16, it shows us, it reveals to us how that a person can end up in a broken relationship. Because all of us can drift away, like I said in the beginning. And the first thing that this verses will make clear to us is to reveal to us how a person can end up in a broken relationship. And secondly, it shows us the consequences of such a broken relationship. Let us just read that verses there. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay, my Bible said, which version is that? The New King James. I just want to, because I want to use some of this wordings here. Gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. And I was looking up to it, this word squandered, and that means like throwing out, you know, like just giving away, just messing it up. This is what this word means. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pots that the swines were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. How did this young man, this young boy, how did he end up so far from his father, so far from the abundance of a loving, careful home? He was so distant from a joyful and fulfillment of a right relationship with God. It is clear that he was missing out on the blessings of a healthy relationship with his father. His own desires was more important to him than a relationship with his father. Our relationship is the result of our choices. I want to repeat it again. You and I, the relationship, the choices that we make are the result of our relationship with the Father. There are two decisions in particular that brought this young man in this inexcusable condition that he was. Firstly, he decided he wanted to be independent from his father. He didn't want to stand under the authority of his father anymore. And he wanted to leave everything and he wanted to go. He said to his father, give me the part of my estate. Give me that belongs to me, because I want to use it the way I think it's right to use it. And then he went and he take control of his own property. And the father gives him, like the word of God said, he gave him all that belongs to him. The second foolish decision that this man was making is he want to have fulfillment in the sin, the sinful life that was ahead of him. Verse 13 tells us that he took everything and he squandered his wealth with wild living. And I was thinking by myself, what else did this, how is wild living today? Is wild living is when you go to the wildest parties and you drink maybe the most expensive and the best liquor that there is on the shelves. And maybe he was sleeping with the prettiest woman. This is the things that this young man was longing for. This is what he wanted to do with his life. So how can this life be fulfilled? How can he take a life like that and make it fulfilled? Because sin can never fulfill anything in our life. It was a waste because it didn't deliver the promise. His life was a total waste because his life, this couldn't fulfill the promise.
Because he ends up in the pigsty. He ends up with the pigs. When my children sometimes want something, and I know as their father, this is, even though they want to buy it with their own money, normally I will tell them, I said, you know what? Don't waste your money on something like that. Because it won't end up in the way that you think you will receive it. So don't waste your money on something like that. I use the word waste because I know that this item will not be as fun and fulfilling as they think and as it promised to them. In the same with sin, Jesus used this word squandered or wasted because sin does not deliver the fulfillment that it promises. Because sin always promises great things for you. But young people, especially the young people today, sin are never fulfilled the promises that it makes. There are two decisions that led to this young man, total ruin. The first, he wanted to be independent of his father. He didn't want to stand under his father anymore. And I know that sometimes our young people want to be independent. We don't want to be in the house anymore. Darren, my son, is accepted at the university in Bloemfontein to go and study there next year. But he was also accepted. He's also accepted here at the university to do medicine here in Windhoek. So we talked last week, and he said, "But Dad, I want to go to Bloemfontein. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be independent a little bit." And this let me thought. You know, I was thinking about it. I know how that I raise him. I know that he's a good boy. But you know, the enemy is out there. And I said, maybe the last year, please stay with mom and I, only for 1 year more. So praise God, he decided to stay here. But what were the consequences? What were the consequences of this young man's decision? Verse 14 and 16 tell us that there was a severe famine and that he began to be in desperate need. He was so desperately hunger to not only physically but spiritually after his father. He ended up taking a job of feeding pigs, and even they were eating better than what he was eating at that time. Now keep in mind, Jesus, when he told us this parable, he talked to a Jewish audience, and I believe that this boy was Jewish too. And I believe that the owner of the pigs was a Gentile man. Because I believe that Jews don't mix with pigs, you know. Pork is not for the Jewish people. So I was thinking about it. This young man was maybe a Jewish boy. And he working for a Gentile man. So a young Jewish boy feeding the pigs of a Gentile man, that was not acceptable in those days. In that culture, it would have been hitting rock bottom. He was falling so far. It was as low and as shameful that a person can go. And that was the road that is running if you're going after your own life and if we leave God out of the equation of our life. The consequences of living independently of God and trying to find fulfillment is horrifying sometimes. I can see it in the life around me, how horrifying it is when people decide, I want to live on my own. I don't want to live with God anymore. In a sense, then you started creating your own hell. If you don't live with God, we are busy creating our own hell. The good news is that you and I don't have to stay in that condition. You and I can go out from that condition. Just like this young man's relationship with his father was restored, so our relationship with our God can be restored too. We can make the choices. The choice is you and my choice. God is willing, waiting. This morning when the first song came up, Running Into My Arms, I thought, wow, this is exactly what I wanted to preach about. That it's time that we run back to our first love. It's time that we run back. God's arms is wide open for you and me to come and run back to Him. Now you can ask me, how can I restore my relationship with God? How, what can I do to restore, to have a relationship with God? Verse 17 said, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more enough bread, but I am dying with hunger. The first step of a broken relationship with God is to admit the stupidity that you stay in a wrong place. The Bible told us this young man came to his senses. He finally opened his eyes and he said to himself, this is so stupid that I'm sitting here, I'm dying of hunger. Even my father's servants have more than enough to eat, and they have more than enough that they can spare some of them. The life as a slave in his father's home would have been better than the so-called freedom that he was experiencing at that time. Believe me, before a person can be restored to a joyous relationship with God, he or she need to come to their senses and admit that the life that they're living are wrong. It's not right to live such a way. Each person has to come to the point where they are dissatisfied with the things that is going on around them. Sometimes we feel so dissatisfied with the life that we are in. We say it so many times, we are at the wrong place at the wrong time, but we are staying there. It amazes me how many people are not willing to come to this conclusion. Sometimes it is clear that their life is falling apart around them. They are literally speaking reduced to feeding the pigs. And they are trying to convince themselves that said, that no, I'm okay. You know, the amazing thing for me is that a lot of people, which you can clearly see, even though their life is a mess, are still trying to hold on to their old lifestyle. And try in their own way to make it better. So many times we want to try in our own way to make our lives better. And we can't, not without God. So many times I can see how they experience one failed relationship after another. They have no money. They are depressed and without peace in their life. And then they still say, my life is not that bad. I just need to straighten out a few things. Then I will go on again. And then sometimes I wish I can look, I can say to them, come to your senses. Your life is a mess. We need to come to a point where we see that our life is not the way God wants them to go. Satan is out there and he's trying to fill the people's mind with lies. He's trying to keep them from coming to their senses. He's trying to keep them from convincing them that their life is not so bad. If people will take a look and honestly to their own life, they will admit that the direction that they're heading to ends up in ruin. And the second step to a restored relationship with God is to return to God with a repented, humble heart and attitude, to run into his arms and to say, God, I'm sorry. You know, it is so sad that you will find people that will admit the mess that their life is in, but they will never do anything to change it. Some people even say, I need to get my life right with God, but never actually return back to the point to make their life right with God. Maybe there's some of us that's sitting here this morning that say that I need to do it. I know I have to make my life right with God. But you have never come to the point to make your life right with God. If you are here today and you do not have a relationship with God, I plead with you this morning to take this example of this prodigal son and come back to God. Run into his arms. Not only did he plan to get right with his father, he returned back to his father, his first love. He took the first step. He decided he will stand up and he will go to his father. He returned with a repentant, humble attitude to his father. He knew that his father could not bless him where he was. While he was still there in the pigsty, his father couldn't bless him. He needed to go to his father to receive the blessing. Some people simply want God to bless them. And then they said, I don't know why God is not blessing me. I'm praying and I'm praying, but I don't feel any blessings from God. But you stay there where you are. You don't want to go out of that condition. Now I want you to notice the attitude of the young man in returning to his father. He did not minimize his behavior. So many times they said, oh, it's no big deal. I was just a young man. I was just a young person. He said, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Please forgive me. He took full responsibility of his decisions and his actions. He did not blame anyone. He did not say, Father, because you were so strict with me, I couldn't stand under you anymore. Father, you didn't do the things right. That's why I was going. That's the reason my life was in ruin. No, no. He took full responsibility of his action. He was humble and down to earth in his return to his father, as you and I need to be if we return back to God. He acknowledged, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy, Father, to be called your son. In other words, he was acknowledging that he did not deserve anything from his father. So many times in my own life, I would say, God, I don't deserve this. But thank you so much for calling me. Thank you so much for accepting me as your child. This is something we need to recognize in returning to God. God owes us nothing. I want to be very clear on this. God owes us nothing. And God is not obligated to bless you and me in any way. We don't come to God and making excuses because we think God owes us. He paid the price already on the cross. And because he paid the price, he don't owe you. It's the same way if I paid my account, I don't owe that business place anymore. God paid the price. That's why he's not obligated to bless you, because he paid it already. You need to receive it. The third step in restoring a relationship with God is to recognize that God will lovingly welcome us home. You know what? This is what our Heavenly Father are. He will open his arms and he will say, come run into my arms. I don't know if you will know, I asked my wife yesterday, did you know a song? I think it was in the late 60s or beginning 70s, there was a song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon at the Old Oak Tree. You know it. It's a beautiful song. Do you know the story around that song? You young people won't know the story. Let me just quickly tell you about that story. This man was in jail, and he did something very, very bad. He was married, and he knows that he hurt his wife very badly, so he went to jail. And while he was in jail, he wrote a letter to her and he asked forgiveness. But she never responded on that. And then he was, after he spent his time in prison, he served his time, and now he decided to, he will go home. And he wrote a letter to his wife and he said to her, please forgive me. And if you forgive me, I'm coming home on the bus tomorrow. And if you forgive me, tie a yellow ribbon on that old oak tree right in front of our house. And if I come down the road, I will see that ribbon and I will see that you forgave me. And we will come and I will get off the bus and we can start our life together. And you know, all the way when he was on that bus, all that he could think of was that old oak tree. Is there a ribbon on that old oak tree? And as he come down the road, you know, the song ends up in a triumph, because an entire busload of people were screaming, because there was not only one yellow ribbon on that old oak tree, but 100 yellow ribbons she put on that old oak tree. The songs, she forgave him vigorously. You know, she forgave him without anything. She only not only put one ribbon on the tree, she put 100 ribbons to say that you are forgiven. Like this man on the bus, we are so sometimes so fearful to come back to God. We don't want to, because this man was fearful. Will his wife accept him back? That's why he said this. We know our hearts and we wonder if God will really forgive us, let alone celebrate our coming home. In the song, this man was looking for a sign. Despite his horrible behavior towards his wife, she welcomed him home. He got the sign in abundance. In a similar way, people who have blown their relationship with God also need to know that God will accept us lovingly if we come back home to Him. If we are not home with Him this morning, He's waiting for us. His arms is wide open. We certainly see this truth illustrated in this parable. I want to close with this. There were things that the father does in the story which convey the depth of the love that was illustrated in this parable. That shows the depth of the love of our Heavenly Father. First, the father saw the son coming while he was still a distance away from him. That means that the father was waiting every day. He was waiting every day, hoping, praying that his son will come back to him. This could only happen because he was looking out to see his son. God wants you home. Dear brothers and sisters, God wants us all home. God wants us to be with him. Secondly, the father was not filled with anger at the sight of his rebellious son. So many times we as parents, if our children do wrong, we become angry. But this father was not angry. He forgave his son 100%. He was filled with compassion when he ran to his son. In itself is a remarkable story. Because this story play off in a Middle Eastern protocol and culture. In a Middle Eastern culture, it would be very undignifying for a father to run towards his son. But this father didn't care what the world was thinking of him. He was running to his son. His love for his son comes before his reputation. And this is what our Heavenly Father are. He doesn't care what you were doing. He doesn't care what other people will say. If we will come back to him, he will accept us. Thirdly, the father threw his arms around his son and he kissed him. Fourthly, in verse 22, the father continued this loving welcome. He said to his servant, quickly bring the best robe that is hanging in the closet. Maybe the father was preparing that robe since the day the son was leaving. He was trying to make the best robe because he knew that his son will come back one day. And he said, put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, because this is a feast. My son has returned back home to me. And to this morning, I believe that if anyone is returning back to God, there will be a feast in heaven. This is what the word of God said. There will be a feast in heaven when you return back to God. Each of these three items, the robe, the ring, and the sandals, were symbols of acceptance, position, and status. These three items were not status symbols, were status symbols of sonship, because a slave would never wear sandals, a ring, or a robe. In other words, the father fully accepted and restored his son. God's forgiveness and restoration of those who come to him is 100%, not 99%. God wants us 100%. And believe this morning, that God will want us to be back with him. God will lovingly welcome you home when you return to him with a humble and repentant heart. I want to close with this. Maybe you have drifted away in the past few months or the past year. Maybe you are sitting here this morning and you do not have a relationship with God. Maybe you are beginning to experience some consequences of your actions of living independently from God already. The good news is, today you can restore your relationship with God. Today you can come back to God. There are three steps that I was talking about throughout my sermon. The first step is to admit the stupidity that you are in. And the second step is to come to God with a repentant, humble heart. And the third step is to recognize that God will lovingly welcome you home. This is only three steps. And if you need prayer this morning, there are a lot of people in this place that will pray for you. You only need to come to God. You only need to have the desire to return back to your first love. If you are sitting here this morning and you know that in your heart, while Jenny will play the guitar for us, please, just running to your arms. If you feel that you need prayer, don't stay there. Don't stay at the place where you are at. Stand up, please. Come forward and we will pray for you. There's people here that will rejoice with the angels in heaven with you if you will return back to God this morning.